Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Rich Dotson, here with my fellow nerd, Matt O'Hara.
Hey, guys. Hey. I'm back.
What are you here for?
Championships.
Woohoo! Woo! Yeah! Title time, baby. Who are you facing in a championship game?
You in one, and then Juan in the other one.
I must break you.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. In the realitysportsonline.com Dynasty League.
Yeah, me and you.
F Matt versus me.
Top of the mountain.
Yes. Look at me coming out of nowhere in the Reality Sports League, RSO, to get all the way to the ship.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm not so much of a surprise because I kind of dominated all the way through, but you kind of came out of nowhere.
You were the pick to get to the championship game early in that league.
Yeah.
I know we got some fans. Remember, we had a contest to get into Reality Sports Online, and like that was like 9 months ago, or 6 months ago.
All right.
And we got a lot of the fans in. Sure makes us look pretty sweet, huh?
Yeah, you know.
It's like the obvious thing, right? It's like, oh, of course the two podcast hosts are in the championship game.
Well, I'm glad it worked out that way.
I was texting Mike about... at Dynasty and Mike, I was like, yeah, it's me and Matt in RSO. He's like, no, it makes you guys look pretty good. I'm like, it sure does. Meanwhile, in my two Dynasty listener leagues, I've got like the third overall pick.
Yeah, just don't talk about those.
Yeah, those don't even exist. Guys, I'm out of here. But yeah, it's me and you in the RSO league.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the official Dynasty Nerds championship game.
I am.
Versus Juan,
yeah.
I hope you beat him.
I hope I beat him, too.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm coming across a little bit of some hard times.
Yeah, that's what happens when your best player is out there, playing Battleship with his helmet.
Yeah, I have Odell in both my leagues, so that's going to be a little bit tough coming up trying to fill that hole for the championship.
You do have Odell versus me.
Yes, I do.
Oh, I'm totally breaking you.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we will. We'll talk about it next week.
I have pretty decent depth at wide receiver. I've been sitting Dez Bryant in both those leagues. So mm-hmm. I may have to play him or I sat Emmanuel Sanders in the other league, not the RSO league. So I'll be definitely plugging Emmanuel Sanders back into my lineup.
You could do whatever you want because I'm going to be over here making a rain.
Uh-huh, sure.
With my championship winning. Mm-hmm. I think did I not say, quote me if I'm wrong here, I don't know if this was a league, if I won the Reality Sports Online League, that I'd be giving away a t-shirt?
I think you said that, and then I very greedily said, if I win, I will not be giving a t-shirt.
Okay, Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, I don't care about anybody for Christmas. I don't care, whatever.
We'll be giving away one of those old school shirts.
Nice.
We do have breaking news on the shirts.
Dun, dun.
So, and I know we have three orders like open because I want to email them about this. We have been talking for a little while about the shirts, and we are actually, the shirts are sweet now.
Oh, yeah.
They definitely are. But there's a company out here called Cleveland Clothing Company. So if you live out here, you're probably familiar with them. But there's a quality of a shirt that I consider to be the best in the world. It's the Tri-Blend, American Apparel Tri-Blend shirt.
Yeah.
And like their shirts, like you can rock out at the bars, you know. Hey, you really want to pick up some chicks, you know. The shirt quality helps.
It does, because they feel it and it's soft.
Yes, it's super soft. Mm-hmm. It like literally just this drapes itself across your body.
Like, it's like a second coating of skin.
Yes.
But that's silky, smooth skin that you don't need to put lotion on.
To me, it really is the highest quality shirt in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are the shirts, like, my wife's like, why do you always wear, like, sports shirts? I'm like, well, that's what I love.
Right.
You know? I don't really, I don't wear button-downs and stuff like that. I'm a t-shirt, jeans, baseball hat kind of guy.
Right.
That's me. That's my go-to. That's where I feel like, you know what? I'm looking good today. You know, casually good. You know, it's like... Like, you do care what you do care, but, like, it looks like you don't care.
Right.
But
right.
The quality of the t-shirt is huge.
Right.
So that's where we're going to. Right now, I know we sell the shirts for $18, so I think we got to increase the price to $20.99, which is $3 more, because that's what the shirt's costing us, $3 more. So we're still making the same amount of money.
Right.
But the amount of more awesomeness that you get, it's not a lot because, you know, the old shirt is really awesome.
Right.
But you get more.
That's that one's a 50-50 polycot in the old ones, and this is a tri-blend. Which
they are awesome. So if you already bought a Dynasty Nerd shirt, you know, you might want to buy another one because
the awesome factor is there.
It is the awesome factor. So that is the shirt news. But and if I do beat you, I'm going to give somebody a shirt.
Okay.
Old shirt. Not new
old
shirt.
Yeah, because we haven't gotten the new ones in yet.
I think we're sold out. We went through two orders of shirts. We sold out, and now we only have larges left of the old orders. So we had to make the decision. We're like, you know what? We're gonna place another large order, let's do the upgrade.
Yep.
So shout out to you guys. If you just bought one last week, well, yeah, poop happens.
There you go. You still got an awesome shirt, so
yeah, it's still an awesome shirt. I still rock two of the old ones, and they're awesome.
Yes, they are.
And I do wear them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have seen you out with those on.
Hey, there's Rich. A great shirt. He looks great today. But if I do beat Matt, I think I'm gonna give a shirt away.
All right,
take some of my winnings. So I'm gonna win a little bit less. Ooh, actually, you know what? I shouldn't even remind anybody. Now I feel bad. Like, I want all my fantasy money back. But I am a man of the people.
There you go.
So I play you. I'm in four title games I found my way into.
I'm in two out of my three. That's and I good. I just missed the other one because David Johnson went friggin' berserk on me. And I lost that game.
Ooh, that hurts, right?
Yeah.
Did I hear, like, if you face, like, Antonio Brown this week?
Right, right. I mean, that's why it's, like, all about getting into the playoffs, man, because your team could go nuts. Like, at any time, it doesn't matter if you just sneak in, you could have David Johnson go berserk for your team, and you're in the championship.
Yeah, game. You faced Antonio Brown, David Johnson last week. You're toast.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's nothing you can do about it. It's not even like you have a bad team.
Right.
So, and I know we make the jokes like, oh, I'm in 50 leagues. I'm not in 50 leagues. Like, money that I pay money to be into, I think I'm in, like, 16 leagues.
I was going to say, it's, you're in the double digits and you're close.
Yeah,
to
20. Yeah, yeah.
You're like, close to 20, man.
It's like 15 that I pay money to be into, I think, something like that. So it's not in there. So you're like, oh, well, you're in so many leagues, you should be in. But I'm in 25% of championship games. I made the playoffs in half. Just about getting to the ship. It's all the way.
Yep.
Hello, I'm here. Give me the money. Give me the money. Show me the money.
Oh, man.
I'm just going to do it for the glory. But let's talk about this week a little bit.
All right.
It is another week. We have...
More of the same injuries here.
I can't wait for the season to be over. One, I don't have to see the Browns play anymore.
Yeah, no kidding.
Two, we don't have to talk about people getting hurt.
Yep.
These are people's lives we're talking about.
Seriously. Or at least their livelihoods.
Well, some of them aren't really doing a good job at it. Such as Melvin Gordon.
Hey, he's on IR.
MCL.
Right.
Ouch.
I mean, at least it's
not... It might even need surgery, right?
I didn't know that. I was going to say, at least it's like MCLs normally are a thing that can heal on their own. That's what I was just about to say. But
I know he's getting looked at. He might not need surgery.
Yeah, at least there's a chance that he doesn't need surgery, and it's not as serious as an ACL.
Yeah, it's probably not even that bad. So you know what, Mel? You've had a rough year. Who would have thought Melvin Gordon wouldn't hit pay dirt all year long?
Yeah, it's what?
Didn't score a touchdown.
Really?
All year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Terrible.
I would not have thought that.
Has any other rookie took a bigger hit for dynasty value than Melvin Gordon?
I mean, I don't think so, but I do want to preach some patience there. I don't think he's a total bum or anything. I just think he had a rough rookie season.
Agree. I mean, I'm not bailing ship. I mean, it's depressing. He's closer to being a bust than not being a bust. Just going to happen. But I think the scheme does not fit him whatsoever. I would, like, when we do, I think in a couple of weeks, we're going to do a buy low, sell high after the end of the season episode.
Right.
And he'd be on my buy low.
I mean, yeah.
Probably get him super cheap.
You can, for sure, because there's probably people like you that traded up for him, got all excited, and then are totally disappointed by the production they got of him this year.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed, but I definitely would not, like, I did trade up for him. I'm too much invested where I'm right, like,
Oh, yeah, you can't, right, you can't bail on it. Yeah,
it'd be silly to sell right now. You hope they change the schemes. They trade up for him in the NFL draft. It's a first-round pick.
Well, that's you, though. You know, I mean, I think you've probably, I mean, I guess you're probably less of a novice than some people out there. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like
a guru?
Yeah. I didn't want to call you a guru because then
it's okay.
You're never going to let me live that down. So I just tried to put it in there a little bit.
My cheeks hurt from smiling so big.
I can see it over there. Like the Grinch over there when he finally gets his idea.
He's a nice one.
Uh-huh.
Mr. But, Rich, he's a guru.
Oh, Jesus. I'm never going to hear the end of this one. But anyway, but there are some people that might be just so frustrated with him that, and maybe don't have the experience, and they're used to like redrafts and stuff like that might just bail on him. But
they've already thrown in a towel.
Right. I'm trying to say don't be one of those people. He's worth, you know, keep it on your team for another 2 or 3 years, or another 2 years probably.
And I think that's kind of safe to say about any rookie, right? I mean, kind of like after the first year, you should never just jump ship.
No,
you know what I mean, after 1 year, it's kind of like you should never be like that mad where you took somebody like definitely like a top 6, top 7 rookie draft pick and then just sell them like next year for like peanuts or a second round pick because you feel like he's nothing. It's just a bad business. You got to ride it out.
Right. I mean, obviously, you're not gonna build a contender doing those kind of moves. But there are times when you get a guy that is, you get him lower in the draft and you want to sell high type of thing after 1 year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want to paint it on like a broad stroke that you never want to get rid of your rookies after 1 year. But, I mean, you don't want to drop a high pick after 1 year. Sure.
Melvin Gordon was a top three pick.
Right.
So, it's a – I mean, Dynasty takes patience. You got to be patient with your picks. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just really the way it is. You can't – I think so many people – definitely, if you just recently started playing, like, you know, 2 years ago, they see some of these guys come in, like Odell and Evans, you know, and guys along those lines, and they come in, and even maybe some like Gurley, and even Cooper falls in that category. It's so hard to find a rookie that does something like that, that comes in and finds immediate success. It's much more rare. You know, the more positive things that you get are guys like Devontae Parker.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And you get like tons of big name players that did that, you know, that came in and they weren't great at first. You know, Andre Johnson, when he came into the league, he's a Hall of Fame receiver. His first couple of years were injured, non-productive his first 2 years, but, and then he finally came along.
But it's important, you know, to watch the games because good players, they flash. Even if they're, you know, even if they're having lousy seasons, you'll see a big play here and there or like it'll break off a big run. And those are the kind of things you got to look for when you're trying to be patient, I guess, with players. I mean,
Devontae Parker.
Right, exactly. He'll flash like a big play here and there. And those are the kinds of things you want to look for.
That's what kind of sucks about Melvin Gordon. He hasn't really, there was no big run. There was no big time play. It was just, and granted, you know, San Diego probably has the worst offensive line in all of football.
It's terrible. Right. You have to look at situations.
Exactly. So, but yeah, exactly what you said. I mean, you got to kind of watch the games, follow along, listen to the podcast, follow people on Twitter, like me.
Right on.
Or you. But Melvin Gordon out, MCL, no long-term value. Hopefully they rebuff that offensive line. Hopefully they change their scheme when they're in L.A. to a much more sunnier one. Well, it doesn't get really much more sunny.
I was
going to
say it doesn't get sunnier than San Diego, so no, I don't know about that.
Way more yuppier.
All right, maybe.
For Melvin Gordon. Right. And if you own Danny Woodhead like I do.
Big boost for his boost. Championship weekend, I guess.
I have Danny Woodhead. I had him actually in the bench of one of my leagues, actually my high stakes league, which he's now going back to the starting lineup. And I'm really excited to be in a championship game in my high stakes league because it pays the most.
You're right.
Significantly. But Danny Woodhead, well, Woodhead I have him in a lot of my leagues, and I'm really ecstatic.
Yeah,
now.
He hadn't been doing anything for the past couple weeks, so it's understandable. I benched him also in my one league, and he scored like 30-something points.
Yeah, he had 36 points, had three scores, rushing score, two receiving scores, pretty much killed it. He will start this week. Again, a PPR monster.
Right.
Great overall year. Feel really good about us pimping him pretty good in the beginning of the year. Before the year started, we preached Danny Woodhead pretty significantly. If you've been listening to podcasts all year about, you know, when he was healthy, he was a top 13 and a top 9 fantasy back when healthy. Sure enough, he's going to finish the year this year as a top 8 fantasy back as well.
Right. You in particular were on him the most, probably.
I was a big Danny Woodhead fan.
Right.
Reason why I got him all my redraft leagues. I thought he was going to be pretty successful. Mm-hmm. And I was right.
And it worked out.
Hey, you win some and you lose some. That's why when people like ask you questions and like you miss on them, like don't be mad at us. Like, you know, not everybody's right. You know, even like you don't see Matthew Berry winning every league he's in. You know, Evan Silva, you know, guys like that field Yates, they don't win all the leagues. And it's just about being right more than you're wrong. And if you do that, you'll be in a good, pretty good space. You'll pretty much get to the playoffs a lot. And then the playoffs, it just takes, you know, you need a little luck on your side as well, as we discussed earlier. Another guy hurt his ACL this week, out for the year.
Mr. Yates, TJ Yates, right?
What are we going to do? How are we gonna win the ship?
Not with Brandon Whedon, man. I don't know.
No, you're not winning anything with Brandon Whedon.
I mean, the thing that it does do, I mean, it puts questions in your mind if you're a DeAndre Hopkins owner and you're in the championship. I mean, obviously, you're still going to play him.
At least Whedon's got a big arm.
Yeah, but he can go, like, full-on crap himself mode.
Oh, for sure.
And that's, I mean...
But with, like, Knuck, he's had nothing but a lot of bad quarterback play anyways and successful. So I think he's literally one of those receivers. His hands and radius are so good. He transcends like bad quarterbacks. Like he's that good. Like I said, I can't wait to see what he does with a good quarterback eventually.
I was going to say, when is that going to be?
Next year when they have like Connor Cook or somebody on their roster.
Okay, all right.
One of those guys, one of those rookies that are coming in there. They're for sure getting a quarterback, right?
They have to, yeah.
RG3 to DeAndre Hopkins. Colin Kaepernick to DeAndre Hopkins.
Hell not.
Now, I don't even think DeAndre Hopkins can transcend Colin Kaepernick's inaccuracy.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
He doesn't have brontosaurus arms. And by that, I mean, like, his brontosaurus's necks.
Right, I knew what you meant, but I pictured these big clumsy-ass arms.
Big old, I got it. Yeah, so Brandon Weens out there. Again, nothing to really... This does not affect your championship game. Just news.
No, I mean, I got to lower expectations slightly, I think.
For DeAndre.
For DeAndre Hopkins, yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, I do have him in my one of my leagues I'm in playing for a championship.
And aren't you a little bit nervous?
No, because I am such a DeAndre Hopkins fan. It does not worry me at all. I'm okay a little bit, but not nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, I have Allen Robinson lined up next to him. I got John Brown on the other side.
Not enough that you're benching him, obviously, but it's enough that I would be slightly nervous.
I feel like I hope I get like double digit points is what I'm hoping for.
Right.
Like low, you know, 5 catches, 60 yards at the least is what I'm hoping for. What I need is 8 catches for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Listen, when Brandon Weeden was at the Cowboys this year and I had Dez Bryant coming off of injury, I had my expectations really low.
Yeah, Brandon Williams is terrible.
He's bad, man. He
looks like a goober even with his helmet on. You know, like the helmet's there like to protect you and like hide your face.
A goober.
He does. Like you even through the helmet, you see him like lines up, you know, and the snap count. Okay, guys. On two.
All right, you're getting personal now, man.
Yeah, I don't want to get personal.
Yeah, we don't need to get personal.
He's terrible.
He's bad, though.
He is terrible. Another guy hurt his MCL as well this week.
Who? Oh, LeSean McCoy?
Shady.
Yeah, no kidding.
Sucks.
And that it's torn, correct?
I believe so. I'm so confused. Like, I don't have any like hard data on that, but I believe it's like torn a little bit. But they're like, well, he might play. I'm like, how the hell is he going to play?
Obviously, we're doing this Tuesday night, and injury like the true injury reports don't come out till Wednesday, so we have a hard time kind of getting that information.
And Carlos Williams is banged up too.
Right. I actually went out and got Mike Gillisley off the waiver wire. He had a pretty nice. Productive game.
He did look good.
Yeah, it was four carries only, but he got 81 yards and a touchdown and caught a couple balls
too.
Pretty
sweet.
So, I mean, that's pretty good production off the bench. And if it's just going to be him and Booby, what's his name?
I'll take Gillisley.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, I just hope like you're not, it just sucks like when you get this far and you have an injury or a suspension even for a guy that you were counting on to win. It's like a huge blow. These are the guys that got you there.
Right.
And you really do need them to win. Like, now you need, like, everybody else on your roster to pick it up or just get lucky with whoever your backup is and kind of throw them in there and just hope for the best.
That is, I mean, if you have a major injury, that is how it is. I mean, you're going to be – I went out and got Steven Jackson as well because I'm – right now I'm struggling at running back.
So I picked all those guys up, even though I'm not going to start them in my leagues.
Right, I didn't want the other person to get
just so the other guy doesn't pick them up. Like, do I think Steven Jackson's going to do anything?
Oh,
no.
No, but I don't want him to on the other person starting lineup.
Yeah, somebody that plays in a fantasy league has LeSean McCoy.
Right.
So I'm playing them. They have LeSean McCoy. Well, I'm picking up every – I literally went through and looked at all the running backs. I cut all – I know they're – I looked at their roster. They're good at receiver. I'm good at receiver. So I literally went through, cut every – you know, all my backups that I wanted, I cut every single one of them.
Cut the dead weight, man.
At least I put the waiver claims. Yeah, I cut all of them. Even guys that are like, you could start. I know they wouldn't start. That are good players, but this is it. It's the last game of the year. Now, this isn't redraft, but by not a dynasty league.
It's a redraft. Right. So you can totally bail on everybody that you're not going to use for the game.
But you can still do that if you have like some scrub, maybe move some guys to taxi squad or some guys that you know realistically that you're not going to carry over next year anyways.
Right.
Just to do that with.
Right. I was able to, I think I had room to throw Tony Romo on my IR in the one league because they finally IR'd him. And then I picked up Gillisley and I dropped somebody like Jeremy Butler or somebody like that. I mean, he was just like a guy I picked up off the street like a couple weeks ago, you know?
Yeah, so guys you don't even really care about.
Yeah, I don't care about at all. And Tony Romo was going on.
Somebody that's old that you know, someone because there's like Roddy White. You know, Roddy White. You can cut Roddy White and not worry about it.
I could, but I have so much sentimental love for him because he was an original member of my team. So I'm just going
to
ride it out.
Those are hard guys to let go, I know.
They are. I mean, I'll probably do it next year at some point, but.
Well, he might do it for you.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm hoping for.
What do you think about McCoy, like dynasty-wise value? I know you like going like I know even like six not even 6 months ago, but like halfway through the season, like you still had him in like your rankings wise, like significantly high for a even dynasty value. Like his, he's a year older, new fresh legs coming in. I mean, he's got to. I mean, he's just kind of got to drop a little bit, right?
I mean, he's gonna drop a little. He's only 26 years. Or no,
he's not 26.
I'm looking at the wrong guy. That's why I clicked on the wrong guy. He's got to be like what 28.
Yeah. Prime time.
Yeah, so I don't think he's like...
Two more years?
Yeah, he's got a couple more years, and I think when he's healthy, he's really good. He just hasn't been healthy this year.
Yeah, and 2 years is pretty good off a running back if you get it.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. I think he's going to be a top five back, as you know, obviously barring injuries and stuff like that. He's gonna
you think now would be a good time to buy Shady McCoy? Like in dynasty, because you know, like a lot of people have that mentality of like an older running back. People are like, oh, I got to sell now. You think it's still enough time now to be buying Shady McCoy?
If
the price is right.
Yeah, I would buy him. Yeah, especially if your team's in a championship window.
And you just need a running back, like a late first.
Yeah, so he's 27 right now, so he'll be...
When's his birthday?
July 12th, so he'll be 28 next year.
A young 28, too.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'd say he catches the ball well. You might get two more years of Shady McCoy.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think that might find, you know, with Buffalo, if they can kind of bounce back next year, you give up a late first for somebody like McCoy, and if it doesn't work out like midseason, I think you could probably at least sell him back to somebody who's contending if McCoy is doing good,
right,
for at least fair value. It's kind of like you don't lose anything on it. So it's like it's worth the risk to kind of get to the ship, obviously barring injury.
Right.
But he's somebody that you buy, and all of a sudden something falls apart on your team and it's not really there. I feel like Shady McCoy would be somebody you could sell to a contender going back into it for maybe the same, you know,
right. You recoup the first right back.
And definitely in 2017, the 2017 draft class is looking like it's going to be better than the 2016 draft class.
Right.
Definitely running back wise, it's going to be a much better class. So I think, you know, we're not doing an episode now, but I think LeSean McCoy definitely now, like right after the season, because he did tear his MCL, would be like, you know, we always say wait to the draft to make trades.
Right.
I think he might be something kind of good to pounce on early
to try to acquire, though,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
While the injury's still fresh and everybody, and like, dude, he's old,
right? And he did, he's coming off a year where he didn't crack the 1,000-yard mark. I mean, he caught like 30 something ball, 32, I think.
And it is 2 years in a row where he's been not a top tier fantasy running back,
right? And I think it's 2 years in a row that he's been kind of nicked up. So, and last year he had offensive line issues at the beginning of the year at Philly. So,
are we silly saying here we are? Go buy a running back that's older and hasn't really done as good in 2 years.
Hey, I mean, I think it's obviously all dependent on teams out there, and he would be he's the kind of guy you want on a championship team.
Yeah, but at the same time, too, like this running back, like what are your options? I mean, still like, oh, well, Shady McCoy here, Shady McCoy this, but it's like your options aren't really good. There's not a lot of like, I feel like the running back pool is like just dissipated. It's just gone.
There's been so many injuries this year. It's been ridiculous, so it's pretty hard to figure out. He's still at least a guy with a pulse. Obviously now he's not because he's got a torn MCL, but he's been there for most of the year.
Yeah, he's somebody that you start every week and feel comfortable about it compared to like you're switching people in. Even like David Johnson, a big week this week, you're not like, oh yeah, I got David Johnson this week, baby.
No, well, I mean, right.
Okay.
What happens when Andre Ellington comes back? You know, I mean, obviously he's still going to have a role, but who knows how the carries are going to get divvied up, if they're going to go, you know, 50-50 or what.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk to David Johnson a little bit, and I'll give you my opinion on that one, because I feel right now like there's no going back, really, personally-wise. But somebody else, we'll get there in a little bit. Mariota got hurt.
We kind of skipped over AP, tweaked his ankle during that game, but
he
said to be fine.
He said he's going to play, right?
Yeah, I think okay. So, I mean, it's kind of something I wanted to brush over real quick. Mariota, there's conflicting reports whether or not he's going to play again this year, but he's not going to play this week either way. So for our purposes, fantasy purposes, most people will be done this week. So he's done for the fantasy season for all intents and purposes. And, I mean, he had a heck of a rookie season, fantasy-wise.
Yeah, not... I wouldn't even say really fantasy-wise wasn't really a heck of a season.
He had some pretty dominant games, man. He put up like 40 points one week, and he had some pretty nice weeks.
I don't even think he definitely finished as a QB1. I think he finished somewhere, yeah, like he's like a low-end QB2, looks like. I have 25, like, yeah, he's a low-end, finishes at low-end QB2. as and that's as a rookie. So for Jameis, I mean, not for Jameis, for Mariota, I mean, it's encouraging going forward. I think he had, see, I'd be on the other side of that where I don't think he had like a good fantasy year. Like, I don't think there's any point during the year you're really starting Mariota, but I think he had a really promising NFL rookie year. Like,
I was able to start him a few times this year.
Oh, look at you.
I mean, it was one of those things where I was playing match. I won the game. So what do you mean?
I'm just kidding.
So, I mean, it was one of those things where you were at least able to plug him in as a matchup type of quarterback. And that's pretty decent for a rookie, man. I don't know. Obviously, it's not Jameis because Jameis is, you know, he's been pretty much an every week starter here for
Jameis isn't right now a QB1. He's on the outside looking in. And we got Kirk Cousins is a QB1 up there. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a QB1. Derek Carr is a rookie this year that you want to have. He's a QB1 this year. He's right behind Phillip Rivers,
He's not a rookie.
Matt Stafford. Oh, he's not. Yeah, he's not a second year guy. But there's some of those second guys. I mean, Blake Bortles right now is QB5. Blake Bortles has more fantasy points than Aaron Rodgers.
That's crazy to think of.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
That is, isn't it? If you would have drafted Blake Bortles in your draft, you could start him all year over Aaron Rodgers. Insane. And, of course, Tom Brady is number one, and then Cam Newton's number two.
Right.
We'll talk about that a little bit later.
All right, let's just fly through these last few injuries. Eifert, still in concussion protocol. Who knows about his availability for this championship week?
I need him. I have him. Yeah. I hope he does come back. I could really use him, but it is what it is. We don't know. It's not looking good.
Right, yeah, it's not looking good, and they might not even risk it, you know, with the playoffs and all that.
For them, they shouldn't. For me, they should.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to write Mike Brown.
I'm sure he'll listen. It looks like no practice for Jay Stu yet this week.
As of yet, yeah.
Encouraging that he got his walking boot off. So it's at least trending in the right direction. If he gets in a practice on Wednesday or Thursday, that's very good news. But who knows with him. A rookie guy from Green Bay that kind of had a lot of hype at the beginning of the season, and then it died down pretty quick. Ty Montgomery apparently has had ankle surgery. So he's done for the year. And then Drew Brees came away from that Monday night in a walking boot. With an MRI scheduled.
And yeah, that hurts.
We don't know those results yet either. And then real quick, Alshon Jeffrey had a hammy tighten up in that game on Sunday and was only good for one catch. Luckily, it was a touchdown. And
Yeah, either it still killed you or that like you barely squeaked by because of it.
Yeah, I could have used a little bit more from him, but what are you going to do?
Somebody tweeted me this morning. They said they won in that last second Tim Hightower catch.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. The very last play they won, and that's how they won. That's how you get by. That's a killer. Happens, yeah. It's a killer if it happens to you. It's super sweet if it's your roster.
Talk about nail biter.
Like, man. All I need is just, come on, just, hey, one catch by Tim Hightower here, please. And then it happens, you're like, yes.
That reminds me of that championship game you beat Juan, and it was all about a blocked extra point, right?
Blocked extra point.
He would have won.
Minnesota's kicker.
Right.
He would have beat me. I won by 1 point.
Yeah.
And because he would have had the tiebreaker.
Yeah, the tiebreaker, right.
And I won a Dynasty Championship versus Juan on a blocked extra point.
God, that would burn, man.
It was. You know, it's funny because he was texting me about beating you in the Dynasty Nerds League this morning.
Mm.
He's like, I just want to let you know, because this was like 6 years ago. He's like, he literally texted me today about this. He's like, I just want to let you know that Minnesota kick still hurts today.
I'm sure it does, man.
I'm like, everyone in back goes like, it feels still just as sweet today. Every time I think about it, it brings a big smile to my face. Because I remember being at a friend's house watching it, because it was like a Monday. It was a Monday night game.
Right.
Is what it came down to. And all he had was his kicker left.
Yep.
And I go to kick the extra point, and I was like, dude, this is it. It's going to tie the game. And I think I didn't know at the time, but I was like, I'm pretty sure it's a tiebreaker. And they blocked extra point. I ran around the house like I won the Super Bowl.
I'm sure.
It was glorious.
You did, man. You won the Fantasy Super Bowl.
I won the Dynasty Nerds Dynasty Championship, so it was awesome. Before we go into like what's going on now, these other players too, I do want to go back about Danny Woodhead, how I thought he was going to be a top 10 back. Right now, he is running back number 3.
Get out of town.
Overall.
Wow.
One more point than Doug Martin.
Obviously, we're in PPR. But yeah.
Well, one more point than Doug Martin and Lamar Miller. They got a... You know, it's pretty close. That like Mark Ingram was right behind him with 193, but Danny Woodhead's got 197 fantasy points. Doug Martin, Lamar Miller have 196.
So Mark Ingram would have beat both of them. I mean, he would have been right there if he would have played all year.
Maybe, because, I mean, Woodhead's going to start next week, so we don't know what's going to happen there. And obviously, Woodhead just had a huge 36-point gain to propel him there. But listen, numbers are numbers. It's where you finish. You know, Devontae Freeman's number one. Adrian Peterson is number two. What's crazy about it is Danny Woodhead's number three overall fantasy running back with 197 points. Devontae Freeman, 272 points.
Monster.
Monster.
Thank you.
Would you sell him if you could, like, for the right price? Like, somebody was, like, willing to give you, like, a elite wide receiver one?
Not on my teams, no.
No? Yeah, I guess it's all about your team. Most likely you need him.
I do need him.
Yeah. Well, everybody needs him.
Right. Well, I on the one team that I have him, I ended up shipping off Matt Forte, and, you know, the other guy that I have on there is Jamaal Charles, and he got injured as well. So I need, like, I need him. I need Jamaal Charles, a healthy Jamaal Charles, and Devontae Freeman to really contend next year. And then in the other league, it's one of those things where I could probably get by if I traded him, but I don't.
Why would you?
I don't need the elite wide receiver. Yeah. I have Dez Bryant, Odell Beckham, you know, Emmanuel Sanders, Eric Decker.
You're pretty good.
Dorial Green Beckham. Like, I don't need a wide receiver, yeah. So I wouldn't do it there either.
And I think the last, like, 6 weeks is going to be more of the Devontae Freeman we see going forward. Obviously, I think, you know, these 272 points come from, he had that week, like, 4 week stretch there where he scored like 40 points like every week.
Yeah, he was scoring like a billion touchdowns a week. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was sick. Like, catching a lot of balls. It was just, so that was kind of like more like an aberration. It's not really, I don't think Devontae Freeman's going to finish with 100 more fantasy points than a running back three every single year.
No.
But I still think he's a running back one going forward. He's still a good running back.
I think he could still score you at, you know, 15 to 25 points a game.
Yeah,
every week.
I think he's still finishing top five because I think he could finish down right around when these guys have 193 points, like the Devontae Freemans, or not Devontae Freemans, but like the Danny Woodhead, Doug Martins, Mark Ingrams. I mean, hell, dude, D'Angelo Williams didn't play every game. He's 185 points.
Right.
Again, he had a couple beast games there himself.
He did.
Who I did see play this week with my own two eyes.
Who?
I tried to take a picture, but it came out blurry. It was Christian Michael.
Yeah.
Look at him.
He actually ran. He ran pretty well. I mean, granted, it was against the Browns.
Yeah. Yeah.
So take that with a grain of salt because they're, I mean, terrible.
16 carries, 84 yards. The Browns are the worst run team in the NFL.
They're really bad, man.
If I still actually had him on my roster, which I do in some leagues, and somebody saw that and they're like, ooh, maybe Christian Michael is back. Give me a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos, whatever you want to give me.
All right.
Please, you can have them. Still not buying.
Right. Where I was kind of into buying him earlier in the year, I have finally turned over to your side, Rich, and I do not want him. I would sell him for basically anything at this point.
I hope, this is what I pray that happens. I hope that Seattle has already made the playoffs, and they're not going to have a first-round bye. I hope Christian Michael plays okay next week. I hope he plays okay in the playoffs, and I hope I can get some kind of return, any kind of return off. I hope, like, he just... Because now it's the end of the year, too, so people are, like, watching. People are out of it, so they're watching. They're kind of paying attention to who's doing good. Who may I buy in offseason? I hope Christian Michael kind of can stay afloat among the Dynasty news and chatter enough for me. Maybe I can get a third-round pick out of him for him, something like that, or somebody's willing to gamble on him. Because Thomas Rawls, to me, he's...
Far and away the better back.
I'm sold.
Right.
I'm big Thomas Rawls.
Yep.
I mean, to me, I think he is a legit starting running back in the NFL on Seattle. So I'm hoping Christian Michael does anything here.
I agree, man. Yeah, I agree.
Because no matter what he does, it will not be enough to convince me. Right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, unless he rushes for 200 yards every game and scores three touchdowns.
Unless he goes berserk. He did it against the Browns, and us being Browns fans, we know how terrible they are against the run, and they've been getting gashed all year. So it's,
yes, like a horror film. Bad horror film. Blood everywhere.
Exactly,
cut up.
Exactly.
Everybody's run. Quarterbacks run for good yards on us.
Yeah. Like when they make us, when the Browns make a stop at the line of scrimmage, they all celebrate.
Yes, they do dances, right. Fat man dances. Like,
right. Yeah, exactly.
We won.
Yeah.
What'd you win?
You did your job. for one play.
We did our job.
For one play.
So Christian Michael.
Could sell.
He is alive. He's still out there.
He's still in the NFL.
If you own him, pray that he does anything like me so you can sell him.
Right
but don't
on.
Be optimistic because I don't see anything really happening. know who else had a crazy game? And let's get back to this because this does affect you. Is Odell Beckham.
Man.
Man.
Man. I was during that game, I was at a gathering, and I couldn't, like, sit there and watch the entire game. So I was watching the stats and not seeing any kind of accumulation and, like, wondering what the heck was going on. And obviously, since then, I've seen all over
SportsCenter
and all the highlights and everything like that. But, yes, I'm glad that he stayed in that game, and I'm glad that he was able to turn back into Odell Beckham, like he composed himself in the second
half. Last play of the game?
Right, and then he, you know, obviously scored that last-second touchdown and everything that really helped me out and helped me win. But I would really, really, really like him to be there next week, and he's not going to, it looks like.
A knucklehead.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, for me, I don't own any Odell Beckham shares at all. All right, and I did move him up. I think I have him number 3 overall in my dynasty rankings. Could make the argument easily for him being number 1. But, I mean, that game showed me something. I mean, okay, you have passion. That's good. I want my players to have passion. But when he ran at 15 yards and speared Josh Norman in the head, I was like, I am not an Odell Beckham fan. And that pretty much is going to turn me off on Odell Beckham he's got sweet hands and all. But, I mean, dude, that was a huge dick move right there.
It was a bit of a jerk move, but, I mean, obviously we don't know what else was going on.
I don't care. I mean, they were playing rough. They were being physical. He's probably talking about his mom, you know, whatever, you know.
All right. I'm all right with it. I don't know.
Well, you own him.
I do.
So you're a fan. You love what he's done for you. But for me personally, like, I have no shares for him. I was like, dude, like, you're such a, like, a douche. Like, well, now you're in my head. It's like, you're a douche. You know what I mean? Like, same thing like AP. Like, AP. Oh, look, Juan's calling. He wants to talk about being you. He's just kind of like AP. Like, I'll never respect AP again just for what he did. My own personal opinion.
Right.
It's going to be hard for me to get over that image of Odell. But, like, what is that going to do? Like, what does that do for, like, cornerbacks now? Like, ooh, can I get Odell's head?
Well, I think they're definitely going to try.
I mean, there's a lot more your mama jokes coming to Odell now, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's something he's going to have to deal with. But I think, obviously, he's far and away a better player than most of them. So
true.
He's not even going to have to worry about it.
That is true.
So, I mean, they're gonna talk shit and he's just going to burn them for a touchdown.
It's just a podcast. You can say shit.
Yeah, I know. But trying to keep it professional. He's just going to burn them here and do a dance in the end zone, you know?
True.
Like, where he wasn't really getting that over on Josh Norman for, like, most of that game. So.
No, I agree. I mean, he's still elite. He's still a stud.
He was probably just, I mean, obviously he was getting shut down, so he was super frustrated. And it is, like, a little bit of a crybaby type of move. Like,
if a dude's
like shutting you down to do that, I mean, and obviously I'm sticking up for him because I own him in two leagues, and, you know, I need him to be there.
But you remember, like, I just wonder, like, okay, what if, like, Eli Manning goes down and they have a bad quarterback? You, like, remember, like, Randy Moss? Like, Randy Moss to me is the greatest receiver I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, if I had to pick one receiver in their prime for one game to win me a game, me personally, I would pick Randy Moss. The guy is unreal.
He was uncoverable. Yeah. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, literally uncoverable.
Right.
But, like, when stuff wasn't going his way, or the bad quarterback player on a bad team, someone around him, like, he would pout.
Right.
And he would have bad games.
Yep.
Can Odell Beckham fall in that category?
He had one incident. Obviously, Randy Moss.
Hey, it's got to start somewhere.
He can fall into it. I don't think he does right now is what I'm trying to say. All right, you're just a hater.
Listen, I took psychology in college.
When?
For a whole semester.
Oh, okay? Boy.
I learned about Freud.
Who? Freud?
Feud, Family Feud.
All right, go ahead.
Family Sigmund Feud?
Sigmund Freud. Feud?
Whatever.
Go ahead.
I learned about psychology.
Go ahead.
This is where it all starts. All
right.
First, it starts with your dad not loving you enough.
All right.
Then he has defensive backs talking about your mom.
Okay.
Next minute, you're on the sideline pouting
because
your quarterback is TJ Brandon Whedon.
Well, that's something to pout about. That's legitimately something to pout about.
I know, but you see what I mean? I don't think Nuck Hopkins out there is going to pout, but I can see Odell Beckham like, ooh, Eli's down. Brandon Whedon's going. I'm not going. I'm taking my ball going home.
I guess this is very far-fetched, and I think you're really stretching this out here.
Odell Beckham's still a top 3 overall dynasty player.
Thanks for reeling it in.
Knucklehead play there. Uh-huh. And again, they don't really care about your fantasy team, but, like, we're talking about the worst time for this to happen, right?
I'm hoping, obviously, again, this is Tuesday night. Wednesday is the hearing for the appeal. I'm hoping that it gets pushed back, but it probably won't.
For my sake, because I'm playing you and you have our Odell Beckham. See, it's a catch 22 because I hope he doesn't play so I could beat you in that league.
But you want to be able to at least beat me at my best, right?
No, I can care less about that. Yeah. I'll take my wins anyway and get them. But I also like, I hope you beat Juan. Like, I honestly, because I just don't want to listen to Juan until for 12 months with the Dynasty Nerds trophy.
Yeah.
About how he won how he overcame.
He's the worst.
He is the worst. When he wins, it's like you'll just get random texts in the morning. Look up today, looked in the mirror, looked right back at a champion.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Juan. Thanks. Minnesota's kicker. Boom, shakalaka.
Come on, that was a low blow.
Yeah, okay, let's move on. Let's talk about some actual dynasty stuff over here. Jameis Winston, another good game.
I think we mentioned it a little bit ago, but yeah, man, he's just kind of rolling, kind of plug and play type of quarterback here at the end of the year, especially.
I still think he's gonna be like a top three fantasy quarterback in like 4 years.
I'm definitely happy that I have a share of him. I got him in the first round this past year.
And Ted Ginn Jr.?
He's just kind of continuing to roll here, becoming the de facto number one there the past few weeks.
Hey, Six catches, 85 yards, 2 touchdowns again.
You forget that this is his second tour of duty there, so they kind of had some chemistry going into it, and true. He had some issues just kind of with his hands, and obviously, I mean,
still does a little bit, but better.
He still does, but I mean, he's obviously over the past few weeks, he's harnessed his chi a little bit and he's doing better. So, I mean, 2 touchdowns. It was 2 touchdowns last week also, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So, I mean, that's 2 weeks in a row where he's really, him and Cam have a really good connection. So,
but at the same time, when I'm looking here at top 25 fantasy point leaders for receivers,
mm-hmm.
I don't see Ted Ginn's name on here.
No, man, he's one of the guys we always talk about who are reliant on the long ball, so they're very up and down. So he's not a guy that I personally want on my team. It's good for him. He's from our area and stuff. Went to Ohio State. I loved watching him there, but he's not a guy that you really want. I want to rely on my fantasy team.
So sell high is what you want to say.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If you got somebody that's knocking on your door for Ted Ginn, absolutely.
Yeah, anywhere from a second high pick, second round pick, maybe even another player on, I'm selling Ted Ginn for.
Yep.
Happily.
Yeah, absolutely.
So make that move. But another solid game by Teddy Ginn, 2 games in a row. Again, sometimes you want to like find people and other league mates in your league that are kind of like they live by, you know, the whim of their pants.
Right, right.
Is that even
a
saying? It is now. Sure. Pipe down.
Right by the whim of your pants.
Did I not tell you I took a psychology class once?
Yeah, yeah.
Some people live by like, ooh, Ted Ginn, 2 games in a row. He's got 50 points in 2 games. Like, okay, hey, you want to buy him? Yeah, what do you want? I'll give you a second. Okay, sold.
Hey, man, things can happen, especially, you know, you get somebody in a room and they're drinking.
I love those deals.
So actually, I finally got to his stats, and it's been 3 weeks in a row he's gotten 2 touchdowns.
I thought it was 3 weeks in a row.
So there you go. Him and Cam have really been connecting.
Hot
nicely.
Hand in a dice game.
Right, exactly.
Look at him.
I mean, obviously, I mean, most leagues right now are in like a no-trade zone, so you're not going to be able to trade them right
now. Only for one more week.
Right, until after the championship, so who knows.
And that's when you should make it. I mean, you could do handshake deals now.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, they're not guaranteed to go through. But,
right, exactly.
You could say, hey, man, I know you need a receiver going into next year. I'm looking at whatever lie you want to make up. You know, I'm looking to rebuild, whatever. You're interested in Ted Ginn? He scored 6 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. Oh, yeah. I forgot. Ted Ginn is coming on.
Right.
Pretty strong. Hey, man, Kelvin Benjamin's coming back next year. Him, Devin Funchess, and Ted Ginn with the MVP of the NFL? I think you should give me a first, but I'll settle for a second.
Listen, this smooth mofo over here.
You know what? Me and these 14 Miller Lights agree with you.
Exactly.
Take my first, young sir.
Just make sure to shake. Just make sure to shake on it, and then he remembers that part of the deal.
Take your phone out and take a video of it. You are shaking on what? I'm going to give you a second round pick for Ted Ginn. Say it to the camera.
Deal.
So let's go to the other side of the table here. Kamar Aiken.
Right.
Baltimore Ravens. Steve Smith has gone down. Kamar Aiken's really stepped up his game. Came away with 8 catches, 128 yards, and a touchdown.
I mean, he's become like their de facto number one. Obviously, once Steve Smith went down, he's kind of been the guy to step up and take over there.
I mean, and Kamar Aiken, I mean, next year, Steve Smith is reportedly coming back next year. Right?
Reportedly, yeah.
Allegedly. He's 26 years old, 6'2", 215 pounds. They have Rashad Perriman coming back next year as well. So there's a good chance Kamar Aiken still might start next year.
Oh, I think for sure Kamar Aiken has done enough this past season to warrant starting. But, I mean, that's obviously not in our hands. But I think, yes, I think he would be the starter opposite of Steve Smith at the beginning of the year.
62 catches, 802 yards on the year.
Yeah, 5 touchdowns, too. So, I mean, he's found the end zone some, too. So it's not like an astounding number. But, I mean, the guy didn't start the year as a full-time player.
Correct. So, I mean, he's really haven't come on until, like, you weren't thinking about Kamar Aiken until Steve Smith got hurt.
Right.
But he has come in. He has played well, being targeted. He's produced.
Absolutely.
And that's what it comes down to. When your number is called, can you produce? He has showed us that he can produce.
I think so.
Showed this and us that he can produce.
You show that turd who's boss.
I like Kamar Aiken as a nice little stash. I like him if I can get him for the right price.
Yeah, I mean, obviously most people that have him on their roster right now just picked him up off of waivers. So, I mean, he was a waiver wire ad this year. So you might be able to get him cheap, thinking just because what you just said, you know, Rashad Perriman's coming back and Steve Smith's coming back. Who knows what his role is going to be? But, I mean, me and you both think he's going to be a starter.
I do, too, yeah.
But maybe not. Maybe everyone doesn't think that.
And those are arguments you want to use in your case to buy in Kamar Aiken.
Right.
And he falls in the complete opposite of you want to wait until the draft. Like, you want to let the season settle on Kamar Aiken to try and buy him. Because right now he is playing well.
Right.
That's fresh in somebody's mind. You kind of want to let his name settle.
Let that one settle. Come draft time, you know, you bust out his stats. Maybe they don't look all that great, but he wasn't playing a full-time role all season.
Correct. So he's someone I'm trying to target here. I mean, I've been using him in my high stakes league. He is my wide receiver 3, and he's been helping me out a ton. He's part of the reason I'm in the championship game.
Right on.
So I have been following Kamar Aiken very closely, and he's just somebody I think let the dust settle. And I think he's at least, you know, he's got the size. Not like one of these smaller receivers come out here and do anything at 6'2", 215. I think he's somebody worth the gamble. Like, and I think honestly, you could probably get Kamar Aiken for a second round pick.
I'm with you there. I like your thinking there, and I think a second-round pick is probably what you could get him for.
And I think that, honestly, I think that's tremendous value. Because even if he just stays, you know, even if he's okay, because even if Steve Smith comes back next year, he's a year older, right?
Right.
Even if Rashad Perriman is going to be, even if Rashad Perriman is sweet, next year is probably for sure Steve Smith last year anyways.
Right.
So there is a role for Kamar Aiken anyways. And a second-round pick, if Kamar Aiken can be a wide receiver fantasy 3,
right,
that is tremendous value for a second. If you can get a wide receiver 3 consistent that can put up kind of big-point games if they're heavily targeted due to injury,
right,
for a second-round pick, I mean, you hit pay dirt. And that's where you got to look at it.
And obviously, we have no idea what Rashad Perriman's going to be like. We haven't seen him at all. So
he just has a really bad haircut. It's the only thing I know for sure.
Hopefully, maybe during his rehab, he'll cut those dreads so he can, you know, I don't know.
Oh, it's the worst.
Streamline him.
He's the worst hair in the NFL, I swear.
It was terrible. He looked like a hobo.
But Kamar Aiken, second round pick, right?
Yeah.
Every league you're in, I'm trying to do that.
Yeah, man.
So I got to put a note here to make those deals.
Make that happen?
Make it happen. I don't even know who has him in the Nerds League.
I can't think off the top of my head who has him.
Well, if you're in a league with me, send me the offer. Kamar Aiken for my second. Doesn't matter. I have the third, like, in one of my leagues, I have the third pick in the draft, so I have the third pick in the second round.
Right.
I would still give up the third pick in the second round for Kamar Aiken.
Wow, that might be getting a little rich for my blood.
Not me. I feel good about it.
I would feel good at the back end where I'm picking. Nice. Ooh, burn.
I just now settled in on me. I'm like, what does he mean where he's... Oh, now I know.
Burn.
Burn on me.
Yep.
Just in one league.
I know, proceed.
Or two. Maybe two.
Yep.
Quit picking at me.
I know.
Somebody that I'm not worried about, somebody that I'd give up multiple first-round picks for, Amari Cooper. Big game.
Oh, man. Big time. 8 catches, 120 yards. Is that correct?
For Amari? I think so. I think he had 6 catches for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Six, Maybe it was targets.
You've gone dark over there?
Yeah, my computer just went dark right
now. Yeah, he had six catches, 120. Right. You're like, what's his numbers? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not really looking at him. Six catches, 120 yards, and two touchdowns. Amari Cooper, now this is weird for me because I love Amari Cooper.
Yeah. Right.
Like, where do I put him? Because, I mean, for the last week, if you go on DynastyNerds.com, I've really been toiling with my rankings. Like, every other day I've been on there. Mm. At the back end, I'm not really going to finish, like, with the top 200 at the back end of it. And we are working on a new programmer, hopefully, update to give us better software so our rankings will be expanded coming here soon. But, like, Amari Cooper, when I go to rank him, it's like, I feel like he's right out, like, right around, like, pick 8, 9, like, I feel like I'd take Allen Robinson ahead of Amari Cooper. But I'm sitting here, I'm having this internal debate, and I'm like, well...
Are we talking startup drafts?
Startup draft-wise. Right. Yeah. Our top 200 rankings. Mm-hmm. Where do I have, like, Amari Cooper? I mean, he's for sure top 12. You know, top... He's a first-round pick. For me, at least.
Okay.
Personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I tell myself, you know, like, 4 years, this is a guy that could be the number one overall fantasy receiver in 4 years. Now, granted, Allen Robinson can, too. But it's kind of like, he's an enigma for me. Not like in a bad way. Like, he's for sure going to be good, but it's like, and that's what you want to do, like, for your top 200. Where do you think, it's also long-term rankings and future rankings. It's like, do I have Amari Cooper ahead? Would I, like, in a startup league, should I take Amari Cooper over AJ Green?
That one is a good debate. It's a tough debate.
It's his rookie year, and we're having this debate.
I know. It's
over 1,000 yards receiving he has already.
Listen, he's really good. And I would say yes if he was 2 inches taller. He's not small.
You do have that big receiver.
Just have like a big receiver syndrome.
Why you won't ever rank Antonio Brown where he needs to be ranked. The guy's an all-time great, and you have him as like number 7 overall in your rankings.
All right. Well, I gave him some respect. I bumped him up to 7. What do you want from me?
Oh, every time I look at your rankings, I see where you have Antonio Brown, and it just goes like, how can I take this guy seriously?
Hey, man.
Meanwhile, you're in championship games every year, but still.
Exactly.
Still.
Right. What do you want from me?
I want you to give Antonio Brown the respect he deserves.
I did. I bumped him up to 7. He was down at like 13 or something. Screw that guy.
Even after this, I mean, we haven't talked about Antonio. I mean, we're going to get Antonio Brown next. I mean, the guy is he's one of the best receivers I've ever seen.
He's really good. All right. I understand that, but
adjust your rankings again. We'll see where you have him in a couple weeks.
I'll put him down to 8 just to piss you off.
But Amari Cooper, so for you, it's a size thing.
It is, and here's the deal. Here's my thought process on this also. He comes into the league so refined. I question where there's room for a ton of growth. But not that he needs to.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, a ton, but.
6 catches, 120 yards, 2 touchdowns. I don't need any more than that.
Right. I'm looking for, I guess, a little bit more out of my top guy, and I'm just not sure he's going to get to the top guy in the league.
See, I think top guy, like that, like right here, like you're looking for your top guy. Like Antonio Brown, I think, is a prime example of why, like, sometimes I think he should be my number one overall dynasty player, Antonio Brown, and is why I have Antonio Brown ahead of Odell Beckham.
I'm going to get you an Antonio Brown jersey for
Christmas. I'd burn it. but, because not only does he produce you a lot of points, but he does it consistently. I mean, that's what you really want out of your first round pick. You want somebody who's going to score a lot of points and be consistent.
Well, what about the week before, though?
Antonio Brown?
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about
Amari Cooper.
Yeah, Amari Cooper.
But see, he's a rookie, so I'm not judging. Right. Like this, I wouldn't take. We're not having a debate. Am I taking Amari Cooper? But I think he could be to that Antonio Brown point where he's such a good route runner. Like you said, where's his ceiling? I think his ceiling is games like this: 6 catches, 120 yards, 2 touchdowns. Antonio Brown's like an all timer. He's probably gonna be a Hall of Famer in the future. Where his ceiling is 50 point games, which he's done a couple. Not actual 50 points, but 40 point games a couple times here.
So you just made my point for me then, basically, because I mean, you kind of almost differentiated what you thought was a Hall of Famer from where you think Amari Cooper's ceiling is, and there's a difference.
But to me, I think I agree with what you're saying about, okay, Amari Cooper could, like, where is there room for growth? I think maybe there's not a ton of room for growth, but for like a startup draft, like, again, like, who am I taking, like, ahead of Amari Cooper? Like, who am I taking? Again, Allen Robinson has room for growth. He's a stud.
Right.
I have Allen Robinson ahead of Amari Cooper, and that's why. But so AJ Green, like, for a startup draft, where's the room for growth for AJ Green?
I guess he's already grown.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And age-wise, so that's right. Why I'm going to say, like, if I was doing a startup draft, would I take, and that's what the rankings are for, that's why we have our top 200. In case somebody's doing a startup draft, where do they think Rich and Matt would take these guys if I had eighth pick? Do I really tell somebody to take AJ Green over Amari Cooper when you're doing a startup draft, even though I have AJ Green in, like, the top five, top six right now? It's like, if I was on the clock, shouldn't I just take Amari Cooper, who's probably going to give me pretty close to AJ Green numbers anyways, who I'm going to have for next about five, six more years than AJ Green, and then come back and maybe take another, you know, because I like to take receivers, even doing these mock drafts, like I'm building around young receivers anyways. Do I take the one of the best young receivers now, no matter where, which would be in the 5-6 category? Do I take Amari Cooper over AJ Green? Do I for sure take him over Demaryius Thomas right now? What is he? That's not even for sure.
But here's the thing that you like almost never take into consideration that I take way more into consideration than you, and it's AJ Green's track record. He's been in the league for how many years? And he's been doing it for how many years? We're seeing a very small sample size out of Amari Cooper. Yes, it looks nice. Yes, but we don't know how he's going to adjust to the league when the league adjusts to him next year.
Now, for rookies, that does...
What happens if next year he gets jammed to the line of scrimmage, he can't get off the ball, and his numbers dip? We already know that AJ Green's gone through that and that he's adjusted and he can still produce.
True. But for me, again, how we talked about earlier about using your eyes. When Amari came out, we talked him up. I know where you tweeted one of his practice route. Like, his route running is so good that will always succeed in the NFL. Always. People like him will always be successful in the NFL.
Yeah.
100% of the time. A route runner like him will, as long as you can catch the ball.
As long as
and
you can catch
Kupper
the ball.
And Amari Cooper does have some drop
issues.
He's
had some issues this year.
I agree.
That. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Will always be a success in the NFL. All
right.
And I get your point. You take the for sure thing too, but it's a real good. I mean, because there's a big difference between the sixth pick in the startup draft and like the 10th pick in the startup draft.
Right.
It's a big difference.
Right. And you don't want to blow that.
And you can't blow it.
Right.
So I guess it just comes down to like
the
youth.
That's why I would go AJ Green, just because I've seen more data. I know more about him. He's more of a certain thing than a guy that's been in the league 1 year.
And I have AJ Green about him, but I mean, like for me, like. Not only the end of the, like, these are debates I have when I do my rankings, I kind of move them consistently. And I think, because my goal going forward with the website is to update my rankings every single week. That's my goal. And I feel like I have to kind of stay on top of that. Not, you know, 1 through 200, but do 1 through 20, 20 through 40, 40 through 60, because that's literally, because it literally takes me that long. Because what happens to me, then all of a sudden I get down to 120 and I see somebody like David Johnson, I'm like, oh, I got to move him up now. All the way up to number 8. You know what I mean?
Right,
then you
right.
can start back over again. But like, for me personally, like over the last week as I've been doing it, like Cooper's kind of in that category, like, ooh, where I feel like I have him where I want him, but I feel like it's kind of too low. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay.
you want to put him up higher, but you can't find a guy to put down.
Okay, but here it is.
Is the only way I can, is what I'm hearing.
I had the feeling about him, the same feeling I had about DeAndre Hopkins last year. I always felt like I had DeAndre Hopkins, like where I wanted him at the time, but I felt it was too low because I knew I kind of felt like this guy's gonna be like a top, you know, first round pick startup guy, you know, maybe probably top 8. Right now, I have him like number 4 overall in a startup. I would take him over AJ Green. And that's why I'm kind of feeling like I should have, that's why I have the same kind of feeling about Cooper now. So for me, it's like, it's a win-win, you know what I mean?
Right.
But for me, it's kind of like when I want someone looking at my rankings to say, look, Rich had Amari Cooper here when I did my startup draft this offseason compared to, like, I have DeAndre Hopkins there now. I didn't have him in the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Where somebody's doing their startup draft, I want to look at our rankings and get the best value they can. I'm like, look, I took Amari Cooper because Rich had Amari Cooper number 6 overall when everybody else was going to take AJ Green. And then 2 years, like, that's why I have Amari Cooper. Thanks, DynastyNerds.com. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
And that's what I feel about DeAndre Hopkins. So when I do my rankings, that's what I kind of look at. Like, I want to help somebody build the best. The only reason I do is help somebody build the best dynasty team they possibly can. So I think that DeAndre Hopkins comparison kind of sums it up for me best of, like, I wish I would have made that move. I wish I would have been bold enough to make that move ahead of time. Like, you're bold enough to make your rankings are like you're on the opposite spectrum of it. Your rankings are bold to where you have it, where you don't really necessarily just look at youth, where a lot of people do. Like, you look at the best players and help you win almost now with some youth like involved in it.
I try to look at them as if I was going to start a thing. I want a good mix of veterans that are still productive and that can still produce for about another 3 or 4 years, and youth guys on their way up. So that way I'm constantly kind of getting a team. I don't want a team full of young guys because that's not going to win me anything.
True. Yeah. And that's true. That is true.
So I try to mix and mingle the guys that have like 3 or 4 years left that are still producing in with the guys that are really young. That's how I do my rankings.
And I'm in my first mock. I'm doing a mock draft for our ADP right now. And I was like, how would I approach my team? And there's some things I wish I would have done different, but I'm always going to build around young receivers. And like right now, my roster is built up as we're just in the middle of draft, but Matt Ryan, Andre Ellington, Devontae Freeman, Danny Woodhead. Those are my only running backs. And I went heavy receiver, Travis Benjamin, Larry Fitz, Jeremy Maclin, who I think is one of the most undervalued dynasty players out there, Brandon Marshall, Sammy Watkins, Kendall Wright, then Rob Gronkowski and Clive Walford. But I have that mix of like Larry Fitz and Brandon Marshall, but then I got Maclin, who's in the middle, and then I got Sammy Watkins as my young stud.
Right. And I mean, that's the type of thing where, you know, you obviously go through a draft like that, and then you look at yourself in the mirror after it's all done, and you say, hey, next year I'm going to have to attack wide receiver because I only have one good like stud wide receiver. I'll probably have to attack that and obviously running back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just kind of have to attack your weaknesses, and that's how I look at them. But when I'm putting together my rankings, I try to get a mixture of everyone. I don't try to go super heavy with the young guys.
I hear. I mean, again, I will always bust your balls on the Antonio Brown thing. I think the only thing I ever have a problem with, like, on your rankings-wise, just my own personal opinion, is, like, sometimes you have, like, too many of the older running backs too high. Because, again, I think that's the one, like, for a startup draft-wise, that's the one position you want to plug and play. Like, I'd tell somebody to grab a good young receiver there in the top 12 compared to somebody like a LeSean McCoy.
Okay. Well, I think those guys still have some value for the next few years. So I think you kind of have to hit, you know, the iron.
You need them. Yeah, I agree. You
strike while the iron's hot with some of those guys and pick them. So
I agree.
It's kind of, I guess it's a difference in philosophies. One of us wins championships.
We're entering week 16, right?
Right.
We've already done our show, and we haven't even covered all the topics we want to cover.
I know.
Let's get through these pretty quickly then.
All right.
Antonio Brown killed it again.
And Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, we can tackle both those guys. They both went over like 180 yards.
Brown had the highest scoring receiving game of the year. Right. I think David Johnson finished with like one of the highest scoring running back games of the year as well.
He had like 44 points against me.
What's crazy about David Johnson, his point total was so high. Guess where David Johnson sits right now overall out of all fantasy PPR running backs?
He's probably cracked the top 12.
He's running back number 11.
Is he?
Jeez. Insane, right?
Yeah, man.
On this season, David Johnson right now is running back 11.
I mean,
he's a running back one.
Anytime you score close to 50 points in one game, I mean, that's going to boost you significantly.
Agree. Definitely, like, if it's like the top one, top three, Danny Woodhead is 197.
Right.
That's 25% of the season total.
I was going to say,
that's
a quarter of a season, basically, you're getting in one game.
But I'll say this about David Johnson for my take on him is, you know, I saw that one run he made where he tiptoed the sideline, broke a couple tackles. One of the best runs I've seen all year. Somebody that I was just like way out of Northern Iowa, somebody I was like way off on is David Johnson. I thought he was just a receiving back, like a PPR back. Bigger, but I thought he was a PPR back.
So did I. I think both of us were off on him. Obviously, we both thought he just didn't look natural running the ball all that well. And I mean, he's come a long way in a short period of time. Yeah, yeah.
I am impressed with him. I was way wrong about David Johnson. When we do our rookie redraft, he's going to be a first round pick.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, I'm in on David Johnson. I think he is a good chance. So we were talking about Andre Ellington coming back soon. I think this is great news for Ellington owners as well, because Ellington is not designed to be a three-down back.
No, he's not.
He's somebody like, again, Danny Woodhead right now is running back 3 overall, okay? Ellington could be a legit fantasy, you know, Ellington might be a buy-low guy, because if David Johnson's healthy, this is great news for Andre Ellington. Ellington needs to play his role, a PPR running back that can do wonders with the ball in his hands.
I don't know, man. Personally, I think if David Johnson stays on this trajectory, then He's really good at catching the ball also. That does hurt him at the same time. He's going to chew into Ellington's carries. I think they're going to end up just going with the one guy. If he's this versatile and he's able to, you know, stay in the game as a true running back and a receiving back, I don't know, man. I think David Johnson, you know, he might be headed up and Ellington might be headed down.
Oh, arrows pointing sky high on David Johnson right now. Again, I mean, he's running back 11. Again, fictitious to the point where this week kind of propelled him that high. But right now I am good enough to say, like, I think they have the running back going forward.
And neither one of us thought that going into the year. So
no, I was down. I admit it. I was down on David Johnson. I would tell people that I'm not really overexcited about drafting David Johnson. Cause I know I remember Raga. I'm like, oh, they already have a PPR back in Andre Ellington.
Right.
Completely wrong on David Johnson.
Hey man, win some, you lose some. We missed on that one.
Yeah. We said it, you know, Emmanuel Sanders had a huge game. He even had a carry for 24 yards, but 10 catches, 181 yards, and a touchdown on 16 targets. Daryl Green Beckham, again, 6 catches, 113 yards on 9 targets.
He led the team, right, in targets?
Yes, led the team in targets. Daryl Green Beckham, love him.
He's starting to come along, man. He looks really good. And you know, Mariota was out during that game, too, so he was doing some of that damage with Mettenberger in the game, so. It's good to see.
And more guys to be encouraged on. Amir Abdullah had 9 carries, 79 yards, and a touchdown. Jordan Matthews, 8 catches, 159 yards, and a touchdown. Again, we said Jordan Matthews, the hand injury, kind of hurt him a little bit early in the year.
Right.
Was never down on him once.
Nope.
Hopefully you didn't sell. Hopefully you bought. Jordan Matthews, still big on Jordan Matthews there in Philly. Still like him a lot. And then, of course, Brandon Cooks as well. 10 catches, 124 yards, and a touchdown. Another guy, maybe you're down on the year, still really big on Brandon Cooks.
Oh, huge. Yeah, huge on that guy. He's for a smaller guy, he's one of the guys that I can definitely prop up a little bit.
A poor man's Antonio Brown, right?
Yeah.
Which is in a good way. Yeah. You know, sometimes you say poor man's like oh, he's not good. But
That's why I hesitated. I mean, I think he's got a really high ceiling.
He's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Again, young guys here, man. I would love to have the receiving core of Doyle Green Beckham, Jordan Matthews, Brandon Cooks, and like Sammy Watkins. And Sammy Watkins had another great game.
Yeah.
Guy who's getting better statistically wise at the end of the year.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
That was this week. Yeah. I mean, good luck in the championship if you made it. Obviously.
Good luck to me beating you this week.
Obviously, hit us up with any type of odd championship questions you have. There probably won't be a lot because you're almost the champion. But who knows? You might have a question, so let us have it.
Hit me up on Twitter at Dynasty Rich.
And I'm at Dynasty Matt.
You can follow the nerds at Dynasty Nerds.
Right on.
I also want to give a huge shout out to Greg Warren, who made a donation to the site on dynastynerds.com.
Big appreciation.
A reoccurring payment every month.
Oh,
so
nice.
Huge shout out to Greg Warren.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Want to give a huge shout out to Thomas Zaliski.
Okay.
Who not only did he buy a shirt this week, but then he also made a donation on top of it.
Wow. Big time.
Again, we brought, you know, at Dynasty ADP Kyle, we're bringing a brand new broad range of rankings coming soon. Starting January, we're going to have ADP available for you. Not only a big list of ADP, too. We're going 25 rounds in these mock drafts. So
nice, man.
You're going to get every single player, no kickers, no defense, to see exactly where they're standing here. Tons more excitement coming to DynastyNerds.com. The next year in 2016. Really excited about this. So any donation you can make to the site, again, goes right back into the site, brings on guys like Kyle, lets us pay writers like Tim Torch, Corey Evans, at Third Down Theory, the Dynasty Professor. Again, gives you guys great articles, but again, rankings too. I mean, these rankings take time. We got to pay to get these programs written. So your donations do. They do not go into our pockets. They go right back into the site to help you become better Dynasty players and help the community. So any donation you can make is greatly appreciated. Like Greg.
Yeah, big time.
And like Thomas.
Heck.
So shout out to you guys. Anybody that can make a donation, doesn't matter what it is. If anybody can give like $1 a month, you guys would be our BFFs.
BFFs.
And of course, if you just buy a shirt, again, all shirts here going forward are going to be the new shirts.
There you go.
I promise they will be the best shirt you ever wore in your entire life.
Try blend,
baby. So, you know, buy a shirt, make a donation.
However you want to help out, man, we appreciate it.
We appreciate it. Obviously, we're not panhandling here, but, you know, we have to say it every week because obviously this stuff costs money.
Right on.
And our number one goal is to keep DynastyNerds.com a free site forever. We'll never charge for anything.
There you go.
We're just sitting there quietly. Well, not quietly, but we have a little tin cup on the side. If you like this harmonica playing, put a nickel in my cup. Kind of thing.
Right on.
And of course, if you do have iTunes or you know somebody has iTunes, please give us a rating and review on iTunes.
That still helps us out a lot.
Again, helps the podcast out in more ways than you could possibly imagine. Keeps us to the top of the charts. Again, you just look up Dynasty Fantasy Football, you see us.
Right on.
Our awesome logo. So until then, everybody, this is it. Last week of the season.
Last week, man. This is for the championship. Hit us up if you have any questions.
Yes. Hit us up. And wish me words of encouragement to beat a Matt in the RealitySportsOnline.com league.
Right.
And also make sure to check out RealitySportsOnline.com. We're going to get into it next month about their website again.
Right.
Completely different way to play Dynasty. It's awesome.
It is fun.
So until then, guys, good luck. Good luck to me. And hey, Matt, good luck to you, kind sir.
Thank you, sir. Right back at you.
And we'll be back next week.
All right, man.
Later.
Bye.
I must predict you.
Thanks for listening to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. Make sure to check us out at DynastyNerds.com for up-to-date Dynasty insight. And follow us on Twitter @DynastyNerds.